Hello. This morning, I'm going to have a look at assurance, which is quite a hefty topic, really. There's a lot to it, and kind of when you kind of initially hear that, it can kind of mean a lot of different things. So I'm going to try and kind of bring a little bit of clarity and look at a few different areas of assurances that God gives us. And actually, all three of these areas could be sermons in themselves that I'm going to look at. But before I start, I just want to answer that question of what is assurance? And it's not a word that we necessarily use a lot in day-to-day conversation. So I kind of initially kind of went to the dictionary meaning to kind of get a bit of clarity on this. I've got the meanings up there. And these are kind of the top three. It was assurance as being either a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise or pledge, guarantee or surety, or full confidence, freedom from doubt and certainty. And when I was looking at kind of those definitions, and when we kind of look in the Bible, kind of when assurance is talked about and when we kind of read kind of and get assurances from God, I kind of saw that all these three definitions kind of apply but in different ways. And how I sort of broke it down, that I'm not sure you can see that in red, but that those top two, those positive declaration and that promise, pledge, guarantee, that's what the assurance that God gives us. You know, when he gives us an assurance, he's giving us a promise. He's given us a positive declaration intended to give us confidence. And then that third one is kind of the assurance that we actually have. So when it talks about us having assurance, it's actually talking about us having that full confidence in those promises of God, that freedom from that certainty that we can trust and rely on those promises. I just want you to kind of have that in mind as we're looking and we're talking about these different assurances that you know, God is giving us promises, he's giving us encouragement, and then as we receive that and allow it to take hold in our life, that assurance is that we gain that confidence and certainty in those promises that God has given us. So I want to look at three kind of different areas of assurance. Assurance of God's presence, assurance of salvation, and assurance of faith. And this morning, you may find that in what I talk about this morning, that it's really just one of them that really kind of grabs you. And, you know, maybe the others aren't for you at this time, but hopefully there'll be something there which is kind of you can pick up on, and that's where you are, and that's what you find a struggle, or that's what you need kind of God's help and encouragement with in your life. So let's focus first on assurance of God's presence. And with God's presence, God just repeatedly gives his people continual reassurances of his presence just throughout the whole Bible. And when God repeats something, normally it's quite important. And I think one of the main reasons God repeats this so often is that we forget that so easily we think we're there on our own, and God has to continually repeat to us so that we get that message of he is there, he's with us. Starting with just Joshua 1, verse 5 to 6, just picking up on what Rob talked about last week, there were this assurance of his presence was there. In Joshua 1, 5 to 6, Psalm verse 5, he says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Now, right there, he's making that assurance that he is with Joshua, just in the same way that he was with Moses, that those promises that God has been making still stand with Joshua. And he makes the same promises to us today. Looking, was reading in Hebrews chapter 13 this time, verses 5 to 6, says this: "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And one of the things I want to focus on as we're going through these type of assurances is that there's a response from us after we've got an assurance. So in this passage, we have that. We get that promise, that his word, this guarantee. He will never leave us or forsake us. And then our response to that is that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. So when we get that assurance from God and we take hold of it in our lives, we can then respond in that assurance. Now, at the time when the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, was being written, the questions people were asking were, which God should I follow, and is God on my side? And this assurance really goes into answering that kind of question, making it clear that God is with us, he is on our side. But in more of a modern day context, we have questions of, is there a God? And I think this assurance is also an assurance for the existence of God as well as his presence. Because very often, to people who kind of look on the outside, they see God as a concept, as just even an imaginary friend, just something that maybe there's a God, but he's out there somewhere. He's in a box in heaven, away from us. It's got nothing to do with our life here on earth. But these passages and this assurance from God, it's making it clear to us that he's not separated from us. He's a living God who not only exists, but he's here now with us. He not only exists, but he makes that promise to stay with us no matter where we go or what we do. And the thing about our assurance is that it grows. So at first, our confidence, that assurance in God's presence may be small, but as we start to step out in that confidence of his presence, as we experience times when we really just feel his presence in our lives, then that assurance in God's presence can grow in our lives, and we can be more assured, more confident that God does never leave us. And sometimes things can get confusing, and sometimes we can actually get this assurance a bit mixed up, that we think, this assurance that God's going to be with us, that means everything's going to be great, that we're not going to face troubles, that that things are going to be better off for us than people who don't follow God. But that's not the case. In fact, in a lot of ways, we see God say that, because we follow him, we're going to face tougher trials. But actually, what God says is that no matter what it is that we experience, he's always going to be with us. And in those good times, we can really grow our assurance as we step out in new ways and we see God there in our lives. And that builds us up for when we have to go through those tough times. Because it's in those tough times when we struggle the most, when we feel lost and distant from God. Maybe we feel angry or sad over things in our lives. And, I've been through plenty of tough times in my life. And each time I've always had to stand on that assurance of God's presence and love for me in my life. Even when I feel distant from him, when he feels far away, when I don't kind of feel God there, I have to rely on that assurance that he is there, he promises there, he is with me, he is on my side. And we must be careful to not allow the offence of our life to actually rock that assurance in God. And I want to, this morning, when talking about assurance, just adapt the parable that Jesus spoke about the wise man who builds his house upon the rocks. As I think when we just looking at that parable, what I want to kind of look at is the image of that house being that kind of that faith, overall faith we have. So I'll come to it a bit later in the assurance of faith. But starting with that God's presence being that foundation in our lives. Word foundation was mentioned in the Newsboys song. It's actually, God being the foundation. And thing is, in that parable that Jesus spoke about, the foolish man built his house upon the sands. The foundation wasn't solid. And so when the rains came, the house was washed away. And so we need to be very careful in our lives that the foundation that we're building our faith upon is rock solid. And we can do that if we see that foundation as that assurance of God's presence in our life. And it's important that we don't get this muddled up, because it's when we get that foundation confused with other things, that's when our faith gets so shaken. So if we think this foundation means that nothing bad is going to happen to us, and then something does, it's going to shake our faith dramatically. If we have kind of as a foundation that we think that God will always heal when we pray, and then we pray for healing and God doesn't heal, that's going to massively shake our faith. So we need to get that foundation clear, that it's God's presence and God's love for us, which is that foundation that we build our faith upon. And we do go through those times when we question the existence and the presence of God. And if you're in that kind of place this morning, if you're questioning more generally the existence of God, I ask for you to look into it, look for ways for God to encourage you and show his presence to you. If you're uncertain of that presence of a loving God, you see, it's that foundation, because we can't go on to anything else if you don't have that. If you're uncertain about God's presence, that he's there, how can you believe what he says? How can you be saved by him? How can you have a relationship with him? You know, sometimes, particularly in evangelism, we make real mistakes in that we try to jump ahead in when we share the gospel to people. And so we talk about how people need to change how they live and what they do and what's right and wrong, when they don't even believe that there's a God to begin with. So when we're looking at that, we need to start from the basics and build up that, yes, there is a God, and yes, he's present and he's with you. He loves you and he's on your side. And that's the foundation that we need to start with. Because if we don't have that, then everything else that we kind of build up in faith is just, it's not on a stable footing. And that when we get challenged by others or by offense in our lives, it'll just all fall down. So the next assurance I want to focus on is the assurance of salvation. I just want to read from John 10, 25 to 30. It says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. You know, going back to my analogy of kind of, you know, the foundations being that God's presence, and then kind of our faith being that complete house, we have elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about Jesus as being the cornerstone. And for someone like me who knows nothing about building, I looked it up, get clear. And the idea of the cornerstone is that the cornerstone goes in with the foundations, and that then every other stone that is laid in building that up is laid in reference to that cornerstone, that foundation stone. And Jesus is that cornerstone. He is our salvation. So this assurance of our salvation is that cornerstone in our faith, that as we start to build up our faith and learn about, everything has to be in reference to that fact that Jesus has died for us and been resurrected for our sins. And I know assurance of salvation is one of those things where a number of people have different views, and a lot of people find it challenging. So I want to just break it down into two kind of distinct areas. The first is in kind of our understanding of Jesus, and that Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins, just that understanding of that is kind of the first part of our assurance of salvation. And you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, even when we're going through struggles, if we're believers in Christ, we can kind of sign up to that. But the question we find a lot harder is answering that question that's personal to us, which is, am I saved? Do I have that assurance in my own life that I've received that salvation? You know, I believe that Jesus has done it, but am I really saved? Romans 10, verses 9 to 10 says this. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You know, we read that, and it's that if at the start that makes us doubt, isn't it? You know, we've got that if, and we go, well, have I done that? You know, I remember when I became a Christian 17 years ago. I was at a Christian camp, and I was at one of the evening meetings, and I remember just coming out of that meeting and going back to my tent, and I was just in tears. I just cried out for God, because I just needed God to know God in my life. And for me, that was kind of that belief in my heart, crying out for God and needing God. But I always consider the day that I became a Christian, became a follower of Jesus, was the next day. Because it was that next day when I was it was after the feelings of those emotions that I actually went to my tent leader and asked him to pray for me, because I wanted to give my life to God. And I wanted to say, Jesus is Lord to me, and I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And from that day onwards, I continue to believe in my heart and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And many things make us doubt our salvation. When we sin, and not just when we sin once, but when we have that repeated sin in our lives that we struggle with, when we go through those times where we feel distant from God, when we lack understanding, when we are sad, depressed, or grieving, when we feel lonely, when we are sick, when we are angry. Maybe even it's you have doubts because you don't have that moment like I do, of that where you just came to salvation and you wonder, and it was kind of a gradual thing, and you wonder, has it really happened? Have I really hit that point yet? You know, that moment doesn't have to be your point of conversion. That moment can be today. That moment when you make that commitment from your heart of your belief in Christ, and that with your mouth you declare, yes, Jesus is Lord in my life. That can be today. That was 17 years ago, but I've had many occasions since where I've reaffirmed my faith that, yes, Jesus is still Lord of my life. And when we have those moments, when we go through struggles and doubts, we can look back and we can point to them and we can say with that confidence, yes, I have that salvation. I can be assured of my salvation. I know I've got those moments. And, you know, this morning, I can't tell you whether you are saved or not because I don't know the ways of your heart, but God does. And if your heart believes and your mouth declares you are saved, you can have that assurance. And when we have that assurance, we need to look at our response to it, and that response we looked at earlier of saying we are not afraid, because no matter what happens in our life, whether we live sinless lives or we continue to struggle with sin, whether our lives are easy or hard, happy or sad, full of suffering or not, it doesn't matter. Whatever goes on in our lives, we can be certain in the promise of eternal life that Jesus has given to us. I know that's the part that kind of ties in with that idea of that health and safety guide, that once we've given ourselves over to Christ, we then have his guarantee and protection over our lives. I want to finish by looking at the assurance of faith. And just going back to this analogy of faith being kind of the whole house that kind of covers everything, and you know, it starts with that, those foundations, and then we put that cornerstone in, and then we build up from there, and it's something that continues to grow. So when, you know, when we start off in our journey with Christ, you know, we just start off with those foundations, and then we build it up, and as we live and we continue to rely on God in our lives, that faith should grow as well. I want to go back to the Hebrews 10 passage that Brenda read out to us. Specifically looking at verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I found it particularly interesting in that verse 22 that it mentions the full assurance that faith brings. I'm really glad that Brenda read out verse 1 of chapter 11 as well, and I want to read that out again now, which is, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, when I was kind of reading those two passages, you've got that in Hebrews 10, it mentioned that full assurance that faith brings. So faith is bringing assurance. Then you read chapter 11, it says, faith is assurance about what we do not see. And I kind of read that and I was kind of wondering, well, how can faith be assurance and also bring assurance? And I kind of, the way I kind of see it is that when we have some faith, we then need to step out in that faith and trust in God and his promises. And when, as we continue to do that, and we have those experiences of God delivering on those promises, our faith increases and our assurance in that faith increases because we learn new things about God, and then we can be confident to stand upon those new things because we know when we've stepped out before in God's promises, God's come through. And when I'm talking about this assurance of faith, I want to kind of distinguish something here, because it's not an assurance about our knowledge. It's not about how much we know about God or our doctrine about how we think things work. You know, our assurance is the faith of that God who loves us, that assurance of a God who has a plan for our lives. He wants to use us to spread his message of salvation and build his kingdom. A God who, when we dedicate our lives to him, will bless us and will grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. Faith that God can use us to do things we never thought possible on our own strength. In Hebrews 11, there are just countless examples, and don't have time to go through them this morning, of lots of people from the Old Testament, who are like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, just a few, who all did great things through their faith in God. And you know, in that Old Testament, they didn't have the knowledge that we do now. You know, they didn't have the understanding of the death and resurrection of Jesus being the salvation in their lives. What they did have was that assured faith in God, the God who promised to be with them, who promised to be on their side, who kept giving them promises, promises for the Israelites that they could go across the Red Sea and leave Egypt, that God delivered on. You know, Abraham, the promise of a son that God delivered on. You know, with these promises, God makes these promises in our lives, and then when we rely on those and trust in them, by faith we can do great things. But that doesn't always mean, as we talked about earlier, that it's going to be easy. And it's particularly when we go through times of suffering that we need to really hold on to these promises of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And I'm not going to read out, but in Romans 5, it talks about how suffering produces perseverance, which then produces character, and then hope. And hope is that key part of faith in that verse 11, confidence in what we hope for. So it's when we go through these times of suffering, we need to persevere for them, because that perseverance will lead us to a point of hope. And as we gain this hope in Christ, we see that God will fulfill his promises in our life, and that at the even though during those times we may struggle, it's those times we have to just hold on to those past assurances that we've built up in our lives, stand on that rock and foundation of faith, so that when we get through it, we can then look back and we can see the fulfilled promises of God, which will build us up and make us stronger to deal with whatever else will come in our lives. So, where are you this morning? Do you have the assurance of God's existence and presence in your life? Now, if not, take this time to turn to God and ask him to show you his presence, his real living presence, so that you can recognize that reality of a living God in your life. Do you have the assurance of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus in your life? You know, if not, if you're struggling, that you're not sure if that's what you believe in, then speak with people. You know, maybe look to do an Alpha course or look at something else. But I just encourage you to continue to on that journey towards Jesus, because there's this gift of salvation that Jesus has already died for you, for your sins, to save you, and it's waiting for you to come into knowledge of him and to embrace it. Oh, this one, do you believe in Jesus, but you have those questions and doubts about whether you are really saved? This morning, this can be your opportunity this morning to take a moment. And it may be worth as I'm praying in just a moment, that you just make that declaration in your heart of, yes, with all my heart, I believe in Jesus and his sacrifice for me. And then you can just stand up afterwards and in your life and say, Jesus is Lord of my life. And if you're at that point and that you're really struggling, just ask God to help you with those doubts and fears, because God is greater than those doubts and fears. And ask him to help you, to give you those assurances, so that you can just feel that knowledge within you, that certain knowledge that you are saved, that Jesus has died for you. Or this morning, are you in a place where you need to grow in your assurance of faith? You know, do you have that faith in God, but you maybe don't have that confidence to actually step out, to step out of your comfort zone, that it's all a bit comfortable, and you're happy kind of your life how it is, but you know you're not sure about doing these other things that you think maybe God is calling to you, and maybe there's these opportunities that are there that have been kind of coming up and that have been coming to you, and you've kind of been scared to step out, that you think if you step out that, you know, it's going to come back down on you in some way, and you're not able to do it. Well, you know, we rely on God and his promises, and we don't do things in our own strength, we do things in God's strength. So if you're at that point, I encourage you to look for those opportunities where you can rely on that assurance of faith that we have in God. Because when you step out in that faith, you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded with, it may not be that things go easily or as we think they planned, but we'll be rewarded with the growing of our faith, a growing of that assurance and our knowledge and closer relationship with God. Let's pray.